Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it is another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, rode in on your motorcycle today.
I did, because it's gorgeous outside as we finally hit summer.
And we finally hit summer as we're recording this. We were kind of talking about all the things that can go wrong on a motorcycle.
Yes, that's right. Things that we do not want to have happen. Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So stay safe, and ride
will on, do
Highway 99 instead of I-5.
Correct.
As much as possible.
Yes.
But not talking about motorcycles today, but we are talking about what could possibly go wrong in a person's life. That they would be better served if they had a will or a trust.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's a kind of verb like this. Well, what could possibly go wrong? Like, if I stay the course, in other words, exactly where I'm at, what are some of the things that we should be looking at, considering? And so for many of us, we haven't even taken the step of estate planning. Well, there's plenty that could go wrong if we just don't do anything. Some of us actually have done some estate planning, but it may be very old. It may be very outdated. And yet there are still some of those who may have been a little more responsible and actually got something done in the more recently. So what are some of the things that could go wrong if you've just done estate planning? So we want to look at all these different categories. And yet, so what could possibly go wrong if you fit into one of these categories? Because, by the way, I just touched on every category that you could possibly have in estate planning, which is nothing. I've have something, but it's outdated, and I just got it done, so why should I listen to you any longer? So,
Well, tell me again that interesting statistic. How many people really even do any estate planning? It's like, what, half?
Yeah, that's right. Less than half. Mm-hmm. In the low 40 percentiles, if you're 65 or younger. And yet if you hit 65, so kind of that retirement age, that's one of the bigger events in life that people go, well, now I just worked and I actually have gained something. So it's time for me to do estate planning, right? That's kind of the thought process. But yet still less than 50% of people ultimately do something to protect their estate. And there's a lot of different mentalities of why someone would either do something, or a lot of mentalities of why people would not ultimately do something. And mixed with that is also that less than 30% of all Americans end up having any type of power of attorney, specifically an end-of-life document. So even though some do a will or do a trust, they still neglect the absolute necessity of taking care of themselves during their lifetime. So less than 30% of U.S. Americans have any type of power of attorneys. Hmm. So there's a big gap still in what people do compared to what they know they should do. Hmm. And really, that's why I'm on the radio, is I want to encourage the body of Christ to step up and do what is the right thing. It's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be responsible with our assets and with our family and with ourselves. So that's why we're even on the air.
Yeah, I know. When I first started doing these shows with you, I didn't know about that part of estate planning, of having the power of attorney and your documents in place to take care of you in this life.
Right.
Because I always think of the will as, you know, while I'm gone, so what do I care?
Yes.
But a lot of it has to do with taking care of you in this time.
Yeah, actually, when we do, whether it's a will package or a trust package, there are more documents produced out of the firm concerning how to care for somebody during their lifetime than there are when somebody dies. Mm. Ultimately, I can transfer assets, and that's really what estate planning is about. But how do we want to transfer them is the discussion of a will versus a trust. However, a person's biggest asset is themselves. And so we often neglect that portion of estate planning, which is, I need to make sure I'm well taken care of. So everyone should have a financial power of attorney. Everyone should have a health care power of attorney. In my firm, we also produce a separate mental health power of attorney. Boy, if, you know, I've mentioned this before, but specifically for the younger kids who are in their 20s, so 30 and below, you know, they're adults. You have to have a power of attorney because they're legally an adult. You cannot just walk into a hospital and get assistance for your children anymore. And they are struggling with mental health issues like we've never seen before. And so we produce a separate mental health power of attorney. That's also a document that if someone was having memory issues, beginning to have the beginning signs of Alzheimer's or even later stages, that's a mental health issue that we may need that mental health document versus the healthcare power of attorney. We need HIPAA authorization. So how do we get your medical records if you can't sign to release them to the care of someone else? And then we have an end of life document, which is what happens if you're on life support and what do you want to have happen? So all of these documents compared to the first couple, which is a trust, a will, and then there's a couple other documents that work in conjunction with a trust that we would need. But a majority of the documents are healthcare related. And what happens if I experience a health emergency in my lifetime and need assistance? So that's a huge area of neglect. And it's an area that if we don't take care of, your family's already going to be running around like like a chicken with their head cut off, trying to help you and taking you to doctor's appointments. It's already stressful. Do we need to add the stress that you have not done proper estate planning, that you don't have power of attorneys, or that they're so old that the bank doesn't want to acknowledge them, that they're so old that it's missing the current legal structure? So there's so many things in between keeping up with a good estate plan and making sure that you have a full estate plan, not just one piece, not just one part of it. So whenever we do estate planning, we do the whole thing. We make sure that all everything that you need in an estate plan is taken care of. And we really need to have that discussion to make sure that everyone is well protected.
Well, maybe people have brought up a few excuses. One of them is, well, I have a will already, so I'm good.
Right. That could be one of the thought processes, which is, and that really plays into what I was just talking about, which is, well, when's the last time you had it reviewed? So when's the last time that you actually brought that back to whether it's the attorney that assisted you, whether it's back to our law office, and got another opinion? The unfortunate part of being an attorney is that my clients walk in, I give them documentation, and they believe that they're set. But the question then is it really properly done? So the only way that you can know that someone has done a really good job for you is to get it reviewed. And whether or not it is currently meeting today's challenges, you need to get it reviewed. So there's a couple things that I want listeners to be thinking about as if they fall into the category as I have an estate plan, so I think I'm okay. Well, when is the last time you had that reviewed? I went to many, many banks when I first started my practice in the Linwood area, and I asked a simple question to the bank manager, so which is, if someone walks in with a power of attorney, a financial power of attorney. So what that instrument is used for is that if you're unable to manage your assets, so you had an accident, you had a health incident, you have dementia that's setting in, something has happened to where you're unable to manage your financial assets. I asked the bank, how old do you want that document to be? Now, I think you've heard this before, Mark. So how old do you think a bank would want a power of attorney to be? In other words, what's the oldest they would want it to be for their purposes?
The oldest, probably 2 years?
Yeah, so they said right at three. You're really close. And so thank you for playing along. I appreciate being able to use you as a guinea pig sometimes. It's right at 3 years. Now, remember, if you haven't done estate planning in a while, that means your power of attorney, if it's at that 3-year mark or 5-year mark, or I know many of you have not looked at your estate plan for 10, 15, 20, some of you even for 30 years. So if a bank wants a 3-year-old document or less, and yours fits into the category of being 10, 20, 30 years old, What is the experience going to be like for the individual who's trying to step in to help you? So that document is produced to ensure that the individual helping you has as smooth of a transition and as smooth of an experience as possible. Because again, they're already stepping into a position of assisting you. They're already making a sacrifice, rearranging their life, adding stress to their life, emotional stress, time, energy, missing out on their own family, their own spouse, rearranging everything. And so do we really want, in addition to all of that, to add a document into the play that is going to be scrutinized and looked over by a bank instead of being readily accessible to be used? And that's an experience that I have watched play out many times. Mm. So Washington law says that if you turn in a power of attorney, that a bank has up to 7 days to get that reviewed. And then they can get back to you thereafter. So you could be delayed if they are not secure that the document is valid and or up to date to their standards. You could be waiting 7 days. Now, there's also another system in there to where you have to give them notice, and that could extend out for over 14 days before you actually can start getting work done for someone you're trying to take care of. Is that the position that you want to place, usually your kids or someone else who's trying to step in, which is, let's let them increase their anxiety level because the bank won't play nice. And really what's happening is that you are in full control of how often you get your estate plan reviewed. And so I'm telling you, from a legal perspective, in my opinion, you need to do this more often than what you think. Just because you have a plan doesn't make the plan work. It means that you have done something in the past, but is it the accurate and correct document for today? And here's the other thing. Specifically, if it's an older document, how much in your life has changed? So is that document really going to have all of today's current legal and tax structures in it if it was done 5, 10, 15 years ago? The answer is no, because the legal structure and the tax issues continually move, update, and change. So the law is something that is flexible and in motion. Also, have your finances changed? So many of you developed this when you had minor kids, or many of you developed it when you didn't have quite as much. And now things are very different for you financially. If you own a home, your net worth just skyrocketed in the past 5 years in the Pacific Northwest.
That's surprising.
And so, therefore, that changes what type of documents you may actually need to fit today's circumstances because you have different finances, your net worth is different, your family has changed, the dynamics have changed, but yet that document that has not been reviewed is stagnant and it has not moved. So, therefore, the only way to keep it up is to have it reviewed. So, here is my suggestion, which is if your documents are 3 years or older, you need to have an estate planning attorney review those for you and affirm that, yes, this still matches exactly what you need, or no, there are some things that we need to adjust. And so go back to that estate planning attorney that helped you. Head over to legacyandfaith.com where you can find information about us. There's past podcasts. There's opportunities to get a hold of us. There's educational workshops coming up. So get in contact with somebody that you're going to trust to review your documents, and we would love to help you if that is what you would like.
Okay, legacyandfaith.com again for more information. We're going to continue our discussion of what could possibly go wrong with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Two things are certain in life, death and taxes. What could possibly go wrong when you looking at those subjects? And those are two subjects that Paul specializes in.
Yep, talk about it a lot, don't I?
People's passing and making that as smooth as possible. And, of course, taxes. And you cover all of that in your estate and tax planning services. What could possibly go wrong? The subject this week, moving on to the next excuse you hear a lot is, I don't have much, so I don't need a plan.
Right. As a matter of fact, I hear this unfortunate fallacy all
probably
too
most,
often.
Yeah.
Which is that one of the reasons that we have that big statistic of 50% or more of Americans don't have any estate plan is I think they may fall into this category, which is I don't have a lot to pass on, so why should I do it? Well, we spent a little bit of time already at the beginning of the show talking about your biggest asset, which is you. It's not your bank account. And so are there things that we can do that keep a plan more simplistic? Now, I don't like that word. I don't like the word simple because the truth is there's nothing simple in becoming disabled, incapacitated, or dying. And so I really don't like that word as I just want a simple plan. As a matter of fact, that may be the next thing that I hear the most often, which is I just want a simple plan. A lot of times what that means is I really don't want to pay you very much. However, putting that aside, simple may or may not actually be what you need, even if you don't have very much. There are things that we can do to structure your finances to ensure that they are preserved and kept for your purposes during your lifetime. So if you don't have much, maybe you've thought about the problem of what if I have a health emergency? Where does that leave me? It's going to eat up everything I've got, and then I'm going to have no assets. So why not take a step of planning first so that we don't have to live in that fear? Because there are things that estate planning attorneys or elder attorneys can do to help preserve, protect the assets that you do have. Okay, so it may not be as much as your next door neighbor, and it may not be as much as someone else that you compare yourself to. But when you have anything, then it's worth protecting. It's worth making sure that it is done, that there are, that there's something wrapped around you, that some estate planning is done to ensure that what you do have will be available and usable in a way that best serves you. So it may even be more important to do good estate planning when you don't have much. Now, yes, if you have tax issues, of course, we want to preserve things for the family, for nonprofits, for church, for the work of the kingdom, instead of paying the government taxes. Okay, that might be true. However, when you don't have very much, estate planning may actually be the most important thing that you do for yourself to ensure that you are going to be financially okay, and to ensure that if you have that emergency, that there are the proper people who can then come in and assist you and help you through that journey. So, yeah, we need to develop a plan instead of being at risk that the system itself is just going to take care of us. Mm. As a matter of fact, that's a bad plan, in my opinion. Just que sera, sera, whatever is going to be is going to be. That is not how you were designed and created by your maker. You have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can have wisdom. And so I would ask that you seek after him, seek after the heartbeat of God of, if I don't have much or if I have a lot, what does it mean to do this thing called estate planning? Because he wants to guide you. As a matter of fact, I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew. And really what happened is that the last servant that we know, he got his one talent and then he buried it in the ground instead of trying to utilize what little he had for kingdom purposes. And really one of the bigger storylines that I don't hear many people talking about is that it's symbolic that he buried it. In other words, he took what he had, even though it wasn't much, and he buried it into the earth system. He buried it in the earth. He relied upon the earth system out of his own preconceived fears. As a matter of fact, his fears were not an accurate depiction of who God really is. God is not stingy. He is not a taskmaster. He is kind. He is forgiving, and he is our great provider. And so his thinking of who God was inaccurate. Then he buried what little he had, and he didn't take responsibility. And the owner came back and said, "You wicked servant, you didn't even take care of what little I gave you." So we need to move aside the thought process that I don't have much, so therefore I don't need to do estate planning. That is absolutely inaccurate. Mm. We need to be responsible with everything that has been given to us, whether it is a lot or whether it is a little. We need to take responsibility, not rely upon the earth system, in other words, the government, and just whatever is going to happen. We have been given responsibility to be good stewards, so let's utilize that regardless of where you are in the comparison model of other people of a lot or a little. Everybody needs to do estate planning because you are your greatest asset.
Yeah, that kind of touches on maybe our last point here before we close up, and that is the person who is a procrastinator.
Oh, yeah.
They know they need to get this done, but they just haven't gotten around to it yet. How can you kind of give them an extra nudge?
Well, today's the day, isn't it? Mm. And so similar to what I just talked about with the parable of the talents, my call to action is we have been given a duty to be responsible with what we have been blessed with. And so we're to be good stewards over that. That word stewardship means an administrative giver. We need to administrate everything that we have been given, make sure that we align our lives biblically. That's our heart's desire, correct? We want to align ourselves with the heartbeat of God. We want to please our Heavenly Father, not because we're afraid of Him, but because we love Him and we want to do well with those that we love. I want to please my wife, not because she demands it, but because I love the woman and I want to do well by her. And so that's our heartbeat towards God, which is let's do well because we love Him, not because we have to. And I also think of 1 Timothy. Now, this is a little bit of a harsher scripture, so if you don't like it, talk to your Heavenly Father, not me. So I'm sorry about that. But 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if you do not provide for your own household, you have denied the faith, and you are worse than a sinner. Now, that word provide, it means to consider in advance. So we need to consider in advance what the result is going to be. Instead of, again, just this thought process of, well, there's probably a system in place. I've got a couple beneficiaries listed. They may not be exactly aligned with everything that I want, but there's something there. Well, I would say that we have more of a biblical mandate than just living life and letting it be. So, yes, if you do nothing, if you don't have a will, if you don't have a trust, if you haven't done estate planning, Washington law already tells you what will happen. So there is a plan. The question is, do you trust Washington State with your money? Do you trust them with how to pass your assets along to the next generation or to your spouse or to nieces and nephews or whoever it is supposed to get to instead of using your voice? So I am always a proponent of seek after the face of the Father. He will reveal a plan that is specifically for you because he has given you what you have and he wants you to be a good steward. So he will give you a plan. Listen to him first and primarily. Then thereafter, implement the plan. Faith without works is dead. So take what you hear and take the step. Head over to our website. Contact us. Get in touch with your other attorney. I don't care. I just want the body of Christ to be in motion and to be responsible. But I would love to help you if you would like that. So head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. So come on over. Let's get this thing in motion. Legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney, and the program is the Legacy and Faith Show.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.